Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good boy.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for tuning into this week's edition of Raising Expectations. Hey, we count it a privilege to be invited into your home, on your phone, wherever you might be, to talk to you about things that we think will raise your expectations as we think about the nation, our families, our faith, our nation, everything that's happening today in the world. Be of good cheer. Because don't let your hearts be troubled. We know who's in charge, and we know what's happening. So, you know the routine very quickly tonight. You know we have our co-host team all in order. We're excited tonight. We've got Dr. Paul Hall, retired theologian, but not a, no, excuse me, retired pastor, but not a theologian. I got that one backwards this time. Paul, good to see you, brother. Yeah, that's right, from Santa Barbara, the area of California. And we have Commander Rob and Nancy. Commander Nancy Hansen, also, she has a new title. We're going to try to remember that every week now. Rob, as you know, is a Top Gun pilot and a Top Gun trainer and has served his country with his life. And we thank you, Rob, for your service to our nation. Most of all, we thank you for your friendship. It's great to know all of you guys. And tonight we have back all the way from the state of Georgia, we have Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And they are now practiced up on being the Georgia Peach and Tank. I don't know what you call the other one yet, but we're working on it. But we're excited to have them back. What do they call them, Steph?
No, bless your heart takes a whole new meaning down there, right?
Yes, true.
All right, then. Just don't forget that.
It stretches out a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. But anyway, as you know, Stephanie is a health and wellness coach, and then Tank is a trauma surgeon. The two of them cover you inside and out. You got a physical ailment, Tank will take care of it. You need help physically and spiritually, Stephanie and Tank together. And we hope all of us will be able to do that to help you in so many different ways. So again, thanks. As you can tell from my shirt, it's warm on the West Coast, and it's probably warm in Georgia. We're trying to keep up. We kind of span the nation now. Yeah, these things haven't grown since last year. Anyway, Rob, they're still there.
No, it's a great shirt. I want it.
Yeah, we're working on it. Thanks.
Okay, good.
It's still going. This is all the way from Hawaii or Hawaii, depending on
I'm
where
fine. How are you?
Yeah, that's
an old mark.
Thank you. You're welcome. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have with us, and we want to move right on ahead. We have with us the lady who you know as the Texas Renaissance Woman. I received information from you. You've been reading about her on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and other of our social media outlets this past week. Janine Kunell. She's right there in the heart of Texas, deep in the heart, in Fort Worth. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that who is the man, Janine, that the big man, Amos Carter Arena and everything there in Fort Worth. It's interesting that Amos Carter is the guy who made it famous, guys. He said, Fort Worth is where the West begins. Dallas is where the East petered out. So it didn't get all that way. So you're in the right spot. We have the true Texas Renaissance Woman. Janine's going to be sharing an amazing story and talking about someone she met. She's going to tell you a story tonight that's going to touch your heart, and we can't wait to just be a part of it as she shares with us. So Janine, welcome tonight to Raising Expectations. We are your home away from home, and we're certainly glad you're with us. Hey, guys and gals, let's give her a welcome Raising expectations. Welcome to our program.
Welcome back, Janine.
We love you, Janine.
There she is.
It's awesome to hear back. Did you get your hair cut?
Which one of us?
Which one?
Her hair looks shorter.
Me?
Well, Nancy got her hair cut from my youngest daughter a few weeks ago, but yeah, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Not guilty.
It looks great.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, good. How's my hair? Sorry.
Always good
hair, exactly.
It's on point, Rob.
Always.
Okay. Sorry.
You know, there you go. You know, it's people always wonder why I say Texas Renaissance woman, and it's really about just embracing everything in life instead of being stuck in a rut. And so that is sort of how tonight's story begins, because I sort of entered a time warp, which happens from time to time in my world, but I was sitting in a very old cafe that's known throughout Texas for the waitresses that are back from the 40s and 50s. It's everybody has a cup of coffee and their homemade biscuits with gravy and all of that kind of stuff, right? And all of a sudden, you know, in the chaotic world that we live in and all the drama and stress and negativity and constant news, we're being bombarded by news reports, and you can't even go to the airport and relax anymore. It's just like television stations just constantly hitting you with news, and there's this rumble everywhere, right? So I'm sitting in this really old cafe, and all of a sudden I catch a glimpse of a elderly gentleman who kind of takes off his cowboy hat. And he bows his head in the middle of all the chaos. And it seemed like forever, but for like a minute, he was praying over his breakfast. And it changed the course of my whole day, because I realized that that's part of what I embrace as a Renaissance woman, is to stop and smell the roses, which is something I never did in my old career. You know, and when you're working in the intelligence world, you really are kind of boxed in and very limited. And so when I got out a couple of years ago, my eyes were just open to this amazing new world. And I just sat there watching this gentleman pray. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to seize the moment and go up and talk to him. And so that's sort of where tonight's story begins, because this gentleman was born in 1928. And I have to admit to you, it's been a long time since I met somebody born back when Calvin Coolidge was president. You never even hear that name anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and don't get me on that, because they don't even teach that in school anymore. So. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway, did you want to introduce what he looks like?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's give it. You got a little thing here, TJ. Let's play it for the folks. That was a quick one.
How do you like it so far?
Great.
The thing that impressed me was that little glimmer. Robbie had a glitter in his eyes, a twinkle kind of. And I just wrote about him too, being a truly great American. He's one of those great Americans, like Janine was saying, that you don't realize they're everywhere. We just look for names, but they're everywhere. Great patriots, great people who follow the Lord, follow their nation, and love their neighbor as they do themselves. And what a story about that. And
there are too few of them left. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
you know, that's one. You know, it's funny you say that. I think that's one of the reasons we're doing this tonight, because we are honoring that generation. And I know that so many of us walk right past that generation, and we don't realize the amazing knowledge and the passion for our country. I mean, after talking to him, I wanted to go serve my country again. It's just so. It's like he would light up when he talked about joining the Air Force and meeting his wife and how she wanted to support him in the Air Force, and just the the things that we consider hardships today, I'm ashamed of some of my attitude when I hear someone's story that gave and did and lived and still lives to this day the way he does. And I complain that my coffee's not hot enough or that I have to wait in line, you know, or the microwave doesn't work. Or, and here is somebody that taught me in just one conversation to slow down and listen and pay attention. And I think, you know, in a weird sort of way, I think that God probably is using everything that is happening in this world the last year and a half or so to cause Christians, to cause believers to slow down, reevaluate, take a deep breath, and realize what really is important. And so I've embraced that wholeheartedly. And so if the video is not going to work, I'll tell you.
I think we'll put him on right now. TJ's back with us. TJ, if you can run that video, that'd be terrific for Janine.
Hi, I'm Ben Newark. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, 1928.
Oh, I just love that.
Yeah, I know.
So he turned on his, he used to be a announcer for the rodeo. And he turned on his rodeo voice when he said that. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I asked him, I said, you know, what, I mean, think about it. I actually don't know my history well enough to know, but I know that after Coolidge was Hoover, and then was it Roosevelt? Yeah. And then Harry Truman?
After that? It was FDR.
FDR. Okay. Yeah. So there's probably been, what, 18 president or 15 presidents since he was born. And I asked him, I said, who in your memory was your favorite? And here was an interesting thing. He said it was Harry Truman. And I said, why Harry Truman? And he said, well, he said, you have to realize, Janine, that the way he picked up the reins after Roosevelt left and just and did not skip a beat and did not. And he said he was not negative. He was very passionate and very aggressive about leading our country. And he said back in those days, people in the United States, the majority of people were in what do you call it when you're in a what's it called when you work in a union? Is it called a union?
Union.
Back in those days, everyone was members of unions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, the union, it was very important to him because Truman was the reason that he went from like $1.21 an hour to $1.51 an hour, and it changed his entire life.
Wow.
He'd be making $1.51 an hour. And that was just so, and he sparkled and shined and told me stories about what he got to buy when he started making that much money. And I'm thinking, you know, what an amazing, to this day, he remembers things like that, that made him smile and made him happy. And I tell you what, he slowed me down. I pulled the reins and stopped for, I don't know, 2 weeks and started reevaluating my fast-paced whirlwind life and realizing that I walk past people every day that not only could probably use a smile and use someone to pay attention to them, but also that may just want to tell their story. I mean, when he sat there and told me how much it meant to him that I stopped and talked to him, his wife just passed away. He eats alone and he misses her. And he said, thank you for just taking time to sit here and join me for breakfast. And, you know, most people, I have to admit, if someone walked up to my table, I'd say, can you go sit somewhere else? Because I need to read my phone. I have to center myself. I have to, you know, de-escalate, you know, and in reality, all of those are just lies from the enemy. Because people can help you de-escalate. They can help you center yourself and all those things that we make excuses for.
The last time that you were on, you mentioned him. And so I have tried since then to be a lot more purposeful. There's two things that I think both you and I do well already. If we see a veteran, you know, with a hat on, we will tell them thank you. But then we will try to engage them in more conversation than just that. We've done that for a while. And the other is tattoos. When someone has a tattoo, especially if they serve us, we ask them, oh, I see you have this beautiful one. What does it mean? And usually you will get a huge piece of their life that they share, right? And so now I've been trying to observe when people are alone, and sometimes they want to talk and sometimes they don't, but you don't know what just a little hello or, you know, oh, how is that coffee? Is it too hot? Mine's too hot, whatever, how far that can go. And I just love that this sweet man has so much to offer and bless other people with, but nobody knows because they just walk right by him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It is said that a society is judged by how we treat our most vulnerable, our children and our elderly. And in his case, because my dad flew B-24s in World War II in the South Pacific and got shot down, well, he was kind of a big influence in my life because I ended up doing what I was doing. But the important thing I think to remember, as most of them are now gone, is that they saved the world from darkness.
Yes.
I mean, unfortunately, what we're seeing now in the U.S. is an attempt by evil forces to make the United States into something that we're not supposed to be, and that we should be standing for, you know, the truth and what's right and what's moral and what's ethical. And the media is not doing its job, and obviously Washington's not doing its job. But I think that's one thing that needs to be taken away from people that have served in World War II, most of whom unfortunately aren't with us anymore, that they literally gave everything up.
Yes.
And so many died.
And they voluntarily
did it. And they voluntarily did it. Mm-hmm. And nobody, you know, put a gun to their head and made them climb the beaches at Normandy or anything like that. And many knew they were going to die. But they did it anyway. And that's something we just don't see anymore. I could talk for hours about the problems we have in our current military and military leadership and the failures that are going on there. But I don't want to scare anybody yet.
One of my favorite books, I'm going to throw this in real quick and sit back and get blessed by you guys. But Tom Brokaw, when he wrote his book on the Greatest Generation, I begin to look at that. My dad and I were close too. I bet we can all say things like this about our families, like Rob and I, we've talked, and Paul and stuff, and Tank and all of us. And, you know, they came through after Calvin Coolidge, they came through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
They really built what is missing in America today, and that's the personal value system, the values of what matters and what doesn't. And we get wrapped up, like you're saying, Janine, and those value systems went from the littlest child, Spanky and our gang, all the way through to moms and dads, the respect that was given to those people. And that value system, I think, is what's missing. And, you know, working with senior adults for a while, when Janine first mentioned this story after last time, remember, Stephanie, she talked about it. It just touched my heart to realize, you said a phrase, Janine, maybe I'll pitch a ball to you there. They have a story to tell. They've got an incredible story that is inclusive of the things that we stand for. Faith, freedom, family, of course, finances that matter, that are properly done. We believe, as they do, that the only way that the democracy of the United States of America is going to work is if we remember we are a republic. And a republic means that we have to count and care on each other. And isn't that a novel thing? I think maybe the founding fathers got that from what's called the Bible. And the primer, the first textbook, the primer that they used, right, Paul?
Yep.
Tell them about that one. And when they got into that, they realized what matters in the value system. When I listened, we had more to share that we tried to bring, and I want to tell all of you on the show tonight. I apologize. Janine has some great clips, and I was unable, in my highly diversified technical computerized background, to get those out. But we're going to share from our hearts on this. And so I'll take the bad one on that. That's my fault. And But the value system of these guys, when this man would speak, when Ben would begin to share about the rodeo, and Janine's going to tell you all about it, about the rodeo, about his wife, and about the children in the rodeo and other things, I just began to say to myself, you know, God's probably so disappointed. He knows everything, but he's disappointed that we don't do like Stephen Tank said, and like Tank Shirt says, serve. We were called to serve one another. When we serve one another with those values, what a difference a day makes, and what a difference a nation makes, and what a difference we make in the world. I'm all done. I know I scared you. I'm a former pastor, and I try not to go there. So that was just the intro to point one, which I have no idea because I don't have a sermon here. But anyway, love the value system. Rob just made me think about that. Take it away, folks. Janine, what do you think on that?
Well, so let's talk about the value system for a second. Yeah. He brought up that back in the mid-40s that they would spend hours getting dressed and ready to go in their best during the middle of the week. It wasn't on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. To go hear Billy Graham and something, George Beverly Shea, I think was his name. Anyway, and I'm thinking in the mid-40s, he went to Texas Christian University Stadium and Billy Graham would speak, and it was like the highlight of their week, and all the neighbors, they would wear dresses and high-heeled shoes and nice, you know, suit pants, and I'm thinking, what? We don't even come anywhere close to that. I mean, that's we right. wear holy jeans on Sunday these days, much less get dressed up to go see a preacher in the middle of the week, right? Everybody wants to do everything but that. But he told me those were some of the highlights of his life because that is where the relationships were built. Mm-hmm. And then they would take that and bring it back to the neighborhood. And you would go to your neighbor and borrow an egg or make a pie and share it with your neighbor and do things like that. And we're so busy these days. I mean, I think I may have thrown a Starbucks coffee card to one of my neighbors once, but sitting down and doing and partaking in that just as far, you know, just in your neighborhood and going to hear a speaker like that is just not something I see that much anymore. I'm determined to bring that back. And so that's part of what my mission is. And so I've been meeting with him ever since. I mean, we've been meeting. I've gone to his house. He tells me all about his horses and his grandkids. And he's so full of life. Man. For somebody that just turned 93. You would never guess it. I mean, he mows his own. He has a zero turn mower and mows his own yard. Wow. And here I am complaining because the guys didn't show up to mow my yard today. And I'm just thinking, you know, he's changed my whole perspective. I'm not the same girl I was last time you met me. It's just seeing life through someone else's eyes and how they value our country and mm-hmm. serve our country and love our country and love their neighbor as themselves and all those things that God tells us. That's so simple, right? I mean, God is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's pretty simple concept, but for some mm-hmm. reason, we have gone a long way from that.
Amen.
I bet you Paul could tell us about that.
Tank, what do you think?
I was going to say, I think your feelings are byproduct of what you are. I've said this before, that you are light, and that you've emerged from an underworld of CIA, and now you're bright as heck. And by the way, thank you for a picture of what my dad would look like because he was born in 1928. So, but I think what you're doing is three words. I see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To say that to someone, or more importantly, the action like you are the light, I see you, is huge. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, you're bearing witness, Janine. And again, I think you're bringing forth a lot of the things, you know, we talk about people aren't going to church that much. I was thinking a couple seconds ago about, you know, churches and Billy Graham and then Joel Osteen. And I know he's in Texas and I still don't know what to think about him because obviously he's gained a lot of wealth, which makes me instantly a little concerned and suspicious. And I was a Lutheran, born and raised, and confirmed and believed in things like the word and things that need to matter involving what people need to know between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the gospel. I worry that in churches which have seen a decline in membership over the last 40 or 50 years, that people are not learning what they need to learn. And it's not something where you take a Bible and you just start at the beginning, Genesis 1:1, you read through the end of Revelation. You can't read a book like that way. And I just get concerned about how, I guess, biblically, should I say ignorant or something like that, that most Americans have become. And I think that's a danger. Because that's really the foundation of our culture, which unfortunately now has turned mostly into rot.
Yeah. Stephanie, what do you think?
Well, I agree with what you were saying. When Janine was talking, I wrote down the word community because that's really what she's describing. And, you know, we've been very active and involved in church life for quite some time. And we've had quite a few people from different areas of life reach out to us and just say that they are not feeling that depth of community. And a lot of churches are doing what you're saying, which is very soft, very, you know, go be a good human, have a good day. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that there's way more to faith than that. And I think we have to be very purposeful. A lot of the conversations have actually been about leaving this church to go to this church or this one to this one. And I don't think that's the solution. You have to be purposeful in building community wherever God has planted you, because if it's not going to be you, probably no one is going to do that. And right. I will also say we've seen a huge difference in moving to Georgia. We're near the top of it. We are in the Bible Belt. People take community and neighbors really seriously. I mean, we had people we did not know bringing us meals, bringing us bedding in an empty house, mowing our lawn, which is 5 acres that we don't know until we got a lawnmower. Like, people very purposeful to make you feel like you belong. And I think it really starts with each one of us. I don't think we can expect someone else to do it across the street. Maybe you have to be the one that walks across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. What do you think, Paul?
Janine, where'd she go? I've seen her. Yeah.
I think I was fortunate to grow up in a little farming community in Southern Illinois. We didn't have fences really between yards. We had maybe a low hedge, maybe a row of flowers, things like that. It was very common for me as a little kid, you know, walking around town at night. People would be out in their yards in their lawn chairs, and you just go up and sit down and talk to them. And because it was, that's what we did.
Yeah.
When I came to California in 1965, I went through a pretty extreme culture shock because Santa Barbara, California was decidedly different. I had learned early on, I was fortunate to have teachers in my high school in Illinois before I transferred that actually had been in the war. They had actually been the bombers and the infantry. I mean, they'd actually been there, and to know them and to hear their stories. And they didn't talk about the war so much, but there was something about them that was captivating. If you just take the time to ask the questions. When I came to California in 65, one of the first things I saw was a kid with an American flag sewed on the bottom of his jeans. You know, he sat on the flag, and I just remember the feelings I had inside. It was just like this burning fire kind of thing. So community is so important. But, you know, we as Christians, we have to be what's called first steppers. I mean, we really do. I'm fortunate because I know who my neighbors are, but I purpose to know who my neighbors are. I walk over and talk to them. It's always fun to meet in the middle of the street and talk and get caught up. And so and people like Bill that Janine met and talked to reminds me that everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. And I think they would love to tell the story. I don't know. I don't remember who came up with the phrase "a conspiracy of silence," but it's been compared to the church that many of us die in a conspiracy of silence. because there's this commonness about us that needs to be out there, but bringing it up and is a real task. So Janine, yay for you. You know, I hope that's you're right. Learning to like biscuits and gravy and coffee and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that's really the staff of life. You know, it doesn't take much to friend somebody. Just smile. It's amazing what a smile will do.
Incredible.
Something on your face.
Yeah.
You know, go, hey, really see me? And I think that's an exciting thing. So go for it.
Yeah, know? What a concept. People matter.
Yeah, what a concept.
They do?
You know, and yet, we live in a society now where the only people that matter is, let's see, celebrities, media weenies, politicians, education idiots, and these are the wrong people. And the wrong people are in charge, and the wrong people are spreading the wrong information everywhere. And again, I think, you know, Paul's right. And I do believe that people need to get back to the community that they live in. And I don't know, maybe care about their neighbors and get interested in what they have to say. And obviously also pay attention to the elderly folks who have been through a lot worse than most of us have ever been through. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's, again, I think that's one of the problems. I think we've had it way too easy in the last 40 odd years, with a few exceptions. And so I think we've created a culture where people have focused on the self instead of others. And we need to kind of turn that around and become other-centric as opposed to self-centric. Mm. And I don't know how to do that unless, you know, the parents can do that. But but the parents now have been self-centric too. So it's a dilemma.
Yeah. If you go to a bookstore now and go to the religious section, you know what you find the majority of? Self-help books.
Self-help books. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
We're not talking about the roots of our faith, et cetera, et cetera. That's very small. But it's help, you know, and you know, the elevation of the human mind and the human spirit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we've got to be careful with that, you know, I think.
That's right, man.
My dad is a wise man, and he always sends me different things he finds. And he's reading some book. I don't even know what it is. I could find out, but it's a page that talks about anxiety and how rampant it is in the United States and how it's almost non-existent in other countries. And part of that is that we have so much time to twiddle our thumbs and think about ourselves, which is what you're talking about, Paul. In the religious section, it's all about you, right? We have become such an ego-centered society. And when we do that, it is kind of depressing, because we're not meant to sit around. We are meant to work. We are meant to serve others, you know? And so I guess that's one of the big questions, is how do we all be more like Janine at the shop? Like, what even prompted you, or and how do you find someone that's willing to engage in conversation, right? Because not everyone's going to say hi to you in that same way, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's one of my concerns about people like Joel Osteen, is because I think people like him are out there to try to make people feel better about themselves, but they're not really calling others to serve others. And so I have that little dilemma about a pastor and, you know, what he's talking about, and lives in mansions and makes millions. And I don't know. I'm funny that way, I guess.
Go ahead. Is that lightning, or is that thunder, or was that God in the background?
It's a jet. T5, the sound of freedom, actually. Going back to Luke Air Force Base.
Right. And we're inside.
We're inside now.
How loud it is.
That's right.
You know, we think about Janine, what you shared with us about, you know, a lot of times you couldn't talk to people because, you know, with your job, and a lot of it was undercover, and you couldn't say this or that. You'd be very careful, very tight-lipped. But now, I bet talking to this gentleman has really helped you to see what Stephanie was saying too. Boy, we sure feel it. I love to hear the stories of these people. And I think it's because they've learned what self-help is, Paul. They just love God, and they know they're loved, and they can't wait to share it, as Stephanie said, with somebody else. let me share my story. Yeah.
I think there's another dynamic too. And Janine, maybe you keyed into this, you know, when you saw Bill, being a believer over a long period of time has a wonderful way of shaping and forming your life. And what you're seeing is an outgrowth of this, what Eugene Peterson calls a long obedience in the same direction, you know, that God's had him on the wheel, just like he has us on the wheel. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But I need to capture the moment that God gives me. And hopefully over time, I made a statement one time from the pulpit, and I think was maybe misconstrued. I said, I would like to know when people look at me, they can see Jesus. And I saw a person in a congregation, oh, now he's comparing himself to Jesus. Well, you bet I am, because I got some major deficits, and he can fix that. And the more time I spend with him, the more intimate I become with him, the easier it is to discern his will and direction.
Yeah.
And I'm conformed to his image. And I love that thought. I mean, I think that's what we should be about, is being conformed to the image of Christ. That's the whole, that's the deal, you know, as followers of Jesus. That's what I think, you know.
You know, I'm going to give a 60-second commercial right here, Janine, and I'm coming right back to you because this is so interesting. Thanks for, see what you did, meeting with this guy. You've got us all thinking, Janine. That's wonderful. Joe Duran, as you all know, with his new company, he's up there in Ohio, Canton, Ohio. I want to give you his phone number because Joe has the ability to help you in anything financial that you'll be looking at, period, in your life or your family. Whether you're saving for retirement, education, funding for your children, income protection, building your financial future, whatever it is, he'll talk with you and it won't cost you anything. You get a lot of wisdom for nothing. And then you get somebody who wants God to give you direction like we've all been talking about to bless your family. So Joe Duran, 4D Financial, is there now in Canton, Ohio, one of our listeners in Ohio. His number is, are you ready for this? And I conclude, 979-492-0611. That's 979-492-0611. Joe Duran, tell him the R&R gang sent you, and he'll be ready to hear from you. Janine, tell us a little more about that situation, how he kind of opened you to thinking.
Is my plan B working? I lost y'all for a while and went on my phone.
No, you're fine. We got you. Good.
There you are.
So, you know, here's the thing. I think that the darkness and destruction and chaos in the enemy, my gut feeling is he overplayed his hand. Because what's happening is people are sick of it. People are sick of the corruption. People are sick of the distress and the chaos. And I'm pretty sure that anybody that you smile or that you walk up to and strike up a conversation, it happens to me every day. I walked up to a lady today and asked her if she was okay. And she told me that she had a growth on her throat and was all nervous. And I just stopped right there and prayed for her. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And I said, I'm not going to like swing from the chandeliers. I just want to pray for you. And she said, you have no idea how much that would mean to me. And then I just right there, I just held her hand and I prayed for her. And I didn't feel, you know, any kind of goosebumps and, you know, no fireworks went off. But the thing was, she cried, I smiled, and that connection was made. And then you have to trust that God is going to take that and somebody else is going to run into her life and they're going to water the seed that I sowed. And then somebody else is going to come in and water the seed. And so at the end of the day, I think if we just stop focusing on ourselves and we look at others around us and realize that it's all been a tactic of the enemy to distract all of us, to have us self-focused and to have us worn out by everything going on in the world, that we are missing the greatest time in history. I mean, this is the time when we should be shining. I don't remember which one of you said it, but at the end of the day, we should be the light that, you know, we should be out there. I used to laugh because a lot of times we go to church, and one time my pastor said, you know, it's sad that we all run to church and we all turn on our flashlights and we shine them in each other's eyes. A lot of good that does, right? Because shining light in a light doesn't do a whole lot of good, but shining that light out there where there's darkness, it transforms the world. So I take my flashlight out into the world every day. And I tell you what, I was timid at first because I was afraid I wouldn't have enough to say, but it's like, once I open my mouth, I realized that, yes, it is what you said about the relationship with God, because when I'm focused on him, who cares how I feel or what I'm thinking? I'm supposed to be his hands and feet. I enlisted to be a believer, and I have gone through lots of training to be a believer and a lot of ups and downs after many years. And so I'm willing to put aside my agenda. And I think if everybody would just make a moment to put aside your own agenda and just look for someone, especially someone that's over 90, that is, you know, just trying to get along in life, and just encourage them, or just do random thing, carry their groceries for them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it would change our hearts, and we could slowly change the nation before that generation is gone.
Yeah.
Man.
Amen. Dean, could I have your wall clock behind you? I just think it's a beautiful thing. I've always wanted a wall clock like that.
Yeah, I have to stop it when I'm talking to y'all, because
I'll buy it from you.
they invented heads-up technology in the aircraft to keep Rob attention.
No, it's great, and so everything is wonderful. Yeah, I'm a mutant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm pretty sure that God is ready to wow the world.
Yeah,
right. So that's
and he probably wants that. To wow it through us. He probably wants to wow the world through us.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Knowing you're a planner and a go-getter, what's your big plan? What's your big plans?
For me?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
You know, you asked me that before. I think I'm going to probably start teaching, having classes on counter communication. I don't know if you know what counter communication is, but it's kind of like learning how to communicate when people are speaking negative and attacking you. You counter that. That's one of the things that we learned. I don't know. And then I helped write a cyber course for the college here. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what I think I'm going to go jump out of an airplane next week with some guys and kind of, you know, play around like that. But as far as what God wants me to do, I'm still in the process of figuring out what that is.
I'm in your counter communication class, but I do not want to jump out of a plane. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's not a prerequisite, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in Texas, we're facing a lot of political drama right now. So I've been really supporting the politicians here and the ones that are trying to get into office that are not, you know, trained pundits. They're more your neighbors who want to get involved. So that I've been supporting them and working with them. And so I think, you know, keep doing my Texas Renaissance Woman blog. I love to write. Excellent. I'm almost finished with my second book. So you know what? I tell you what my dream is. I would love to turn The Overcomers into a movie.
There you go.
So
you just spoke it. I love it.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Paul, you got anything you want to share there on that thought?
You know, have you ever heard of a guy named Paul? Not this one, but Paul. I had a guy pray for me one time. He says, he made this is my new friend, Paul. We have the same name, same game, and the same fame. In Jesus' name, amen. And I thought, boy, that's powerful. But I want to give you a little quote from the book of Philippians. This is the paraphrase called The Message. But listen what Paul says. He says, do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society, and provide people with a glimpse of good living, of the living God, and carry the light-giving message into the night.
Amen.
Boy, that's been around a while, hasn't it?
Where wow. in Philippians for the Message version?
I'm sorry, what?
Where in Philippians?
Philippians chapter 2, verse 14.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. That's where we're... That's what you've been saying.
How human nature hasn't changed over the last few thousand years, because we still are faced with an imperfect, sinful human nature. I'm currently reading Dante's Divine Comedy, and I finally got through Purgatorio, and I'm finally in Paradiso. Beautiful book, by the way. And it's all about Dante being cleansed and from his pride and from his hubris. And I think what really matters, and I think this is one of the key things in the Bible, as well as Dante's Inferno and Purgatorio and Paradiso, is humility. I think people are just full of self-pride. And what needs to be done is somehow, I don't know how it's done, unless biblically people get it, is to make everyone more humble. And again, I need your guys' help because you're more biblically.
All right. Okay, I got to say something. This is from the guy that we walked into a restaurant last night and said, "Who's the best fighter pilot you ever saw?"
It's one of the great ironies because, again, you know, there's in the aviation community,
okay, oh my God.
In general, and the fighter community in particular, humility is not a very strong trait. But again, I'm older and wiser now, so I want everybody to understand out there, and whoever's listening, that what we need now is less hubris and more humility. Because that's sort of the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And wisdom is something else we need a lot more of these days.
Not just in the
U.S., but worldwide. Nice job.
I got 3.5 minutes for you. You got a thought on that?
You're great American.
That is good. And you get my vote as the best pilot. But anyway, you got a 60-second thought on that?
To me?
We have
Paul.
No, Janine.
You got a thought on that? I got 60 seconds. I'm going to have to wrap us up.
Then we're
back to Janine.
Okay. Believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, and he is good for his word. He will do what he said. And I think it's the prayer. Remember, the disciple said, you know, "Lord, help my unbelief." If we could just stand on what we know and unashamedly and without fear profess our faith in Jesus Christ, you know, what a difference it would make, you know, in the whole world. You know, so go get them, guys. I pray for you. I cover you people, you know, that God will give you the freedom and the opportunity, and that you live the moment that you're in and seize that opportunity. Don't let that slide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Janine, Stephanie, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I just said amen. Preach, Paul.
Oh, amen. That's it. Thank you. Janine, we just really appreciate you. I'm going to wrap this for a second. I've got I want you all to know, and I know you're all listening, because we claim you as our family, and you can see these people here. We just love our family. Janine's adopted. She's part of our family.
Yeah, she's
like
definitely
Richard Gray
adopted.
Was last week.
Yeah. We got she's a blonde. Texas. I mean, how could she not be adopted
yeah,
here?
Great Texas.
Come on, man. you know,
but what I got to say to everybody listening, need to make sure that you know we're growing, expanding with BBS. We're expanding with your program, Raising Expectations. We need your support. We don't put anything out there. So, and I tell you what, the worst person in the world to ask for donations is a pastor. But in any event, I'm going to say to you, and I was going to kick it to Paul, but he started praying, so I knew he wasn't watching. But ladies and gentlemen, we have many people that give $15, $20, $25 a month or $10. Anything that you can give, we would appreciate. All you do is you go to our website and just pray about it. If God leads you to help us to come to you every week, BBSradio.com/raising expectations, capital E. BBSradio.com/raising expectations. And if you'll find that thing, our site will come up. Right there's a donation. It's PayPal. It's vetted. You're safe. The world will end before anything could happen to a dollar. They guarantee you're all set. But if you'll do that, we'll thank you. And that's all I'm going to say. We need your help. Help us out, folks. And Janine, thank you for being
thank
with
you,
us.
Thank you, Janine.
We all
you rock.
Thanks for being on our program. And we'll be back. We'll have you back soon. And we'll be even better. And again, I apologize on the tapes, but I'm an old pastor that just loves God, loves people, loves everybody on this team. We're the best team. I just love these guys. So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have 1 minute. So, Janine, God bless you and keep you. Tank, great to see you. Show that shirt. I love that shirt. Serve.
It's in serve. It's serve.
Yeah. We love it.
Right. That is awesome.
The shirt below it is for Rob. It says, the older I get, the better I was.
Oh yeah, that's perfect. That's so true.
Yeah, yes. Hang in there, Steph. Okay, Rob. God bless you, brother. And Nancy, Commander.
Well, thank
Nancy.
You.
Thanks, brother Paul. We'll see you, Pastor. Okay, and we'll see you real soon. Thanks for watching in. God bless and keep you. We'll see you next
thank
week.
Thank you, Janine.
On bye. Raising Expectations. Bye, Janine.
Bye, guys.
Friends. Thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.